Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another episode of Secret Artists. My name is Annie McGrath and I'm joined today by inspirational writer and performer Jack Rook. It was very interesting speaking to Jack as he is someone who was drawn to art out of necessity. The process of creating was how he coped with the death of his father at a young age and the subsequent death of his grandmother and best friend who he lost to suicide. We touch upon this in the episode, but I'd recommend you read Jack's book for a more in-depth, funny and moving insight into his experience of grief. On this episode, Jack and I have a light-hearted chat about MIA, carrots, sleep, and lots more. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter to see our artworks at Secret Art Pod. Hope you enjoy the episode. See you on the other side.
Jack is a comedian, author, and mental health ambassador who has recently published his debut book, Cheer the Fuck Up, a bold, brilliant, and very personal account of his experiences of grief, sexuality, depression, and more. He also contributed an essay to the award-winning book, It's Not Okay to Feel Blue and Other Lies, curated by Scarlett Curtis. Jack presented his own BBC Three documentary series, Happy Man, as well as BBC Radio 4 comedy, Good Grief, and art special, Mamma Mia. Mama, M-I-A, I guess is how you're supposed to say it.
It was a pun. It was a little pun.
That's good written down, but when I say it out loud, I don't know whether to say Mia.
No, it's Mama, M-I-A.
Mama,
because
M-I-A.
It came out the same week as Mamma Mia, and we just thought, oh, fuck
it's
it.
Great. Well, I mean, it's a great pun.
Well, there'll be a show on Radio 4 called Mamma Mia, which was quite funny.
He was also BBC Radio 1's on-air expert in bereavement and mental health for the surgery. Last time I saw Jack, we were playing Boggle at Lou Sanders' house and Jack did a drawing of me, which made me think, I want this guy on my podcast.
Imagine if I did that on purpose, to sort of like as a hint, like,
yeah.
Oh, Annie,
what do you think
get
of
me
this
on
drawing?
The pod.
Yeah.
What do you think about this gorgeous drawing I've done of you in 25 seconds, made up of three lines?
It was great. Well, here we are now, so it worked, if that was your plan. How are you, Jack?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. I've got a bad chest at the moment. I've just been to the doctors.
Right.
And after this podcast, I will be going to Watford Hospital to
have
blood tests. She doesn't think it's anything too sinister, but she just wants to do me a good little MOT type thing.
Okay. Well, I hope that's all right. I did notice that you replied to my email at 4:37 a.m. and I was going to say, everything all right, babe?
Yeah, my sleep is all over the place at the moment. So I I have like a sleep part one, which is about sort of 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. Then from 2 a.m. to sort of 5 or 6 a.m. I have my working day, and mm-hmm. then I go back to bed at about 5 a.m. until about 10.
It's like a three-act play.
It really is. It's like going to see The Inheritance of the Young Vic.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you're having sleep trouble. It's actually taking me a long time to get to sleep these days. I don't know if it's the
sleep is the most precious thing. It's the most precious currency of our times right now. And yeah, no, I just...
I thought you said cunt. Currency, is that what you said?
Currency.
Sleep is the most precious cunt of our time.
No. Well, and it is that as well.
It is.
But it's horrible when your sleep's messed up. But then I think I really am considering downloading the Calm app, which is some sort of like mindful relaxation thing where Harry Styles reads you a story to bed.
Oh, really? Does it have to be Harry Styles?
It doesn't have to be Harry Styles, but I think I would do it specifically for Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Just because, not necessarily because it's Harry Styles, but because I think he has a particular sort of lovely, you know, like transatlantic accents, like people who are like, normally it's like, yeah, I was like brought up in LA, but like my parents are from Cambridge, and so I sort of speak a bit like this, and sometimes it's like, that I always find like a little bit, like it grates on me, but it doesn't if it's part northern, part American, if it's like northern English.
I see.
Like Mel B, I think, has the most incredible accent in the world, because it's like Leeds meets like the Valley.
Jack, would you consider yourself an artist?
Well, do you know what?
Don't be shy.
I think as a word, so look, I am somebody whose previous work in the live comedy theatre arena has been heavily subsidised by Arts Council England. So technically, yes, I am an artist. Mm-hmm. According to HMRC, I am an artist.
That's great. That's the sort of validation I think helps. You describe yourself, you can literally be like, they think they've given me money to be an, artist. That's literally my job.
And also I sort of kind of felt that the word, once you try and make sure it doesn't feel like you're using it pretentiously, I think it can be quite an empowering word to be an artist. And I also think it's because like I've done a few different sort of things. Like when I first started performing, I was doing like silly stand-up poetry, very much within the sort of spoken word realm, arena. Yeah. And then I sort of started doing like little bits, spots of comedy and doing bits of stand-up. And then I just started doing like hour-long comedy theatre shows. Mm-hmm. And I think poetry people would call me a comedian, and comedians would call me a theatre maker, and then theatre makers would probably call me a poet. And so I'm like, well, none of you want me, so I'll just be an artist. No one's ever like, oh yeah, he's a fellow. I'm sort of like,
strings like to your bow.
Well, it sounds like I'm boasting there, but what I actually mean is I'm so irritating, no community will take me.
Don't think that's true. And can you,
will you
describe...
take me, Annie?
I'll take you. Podcaster. Boy. The voice
big
of a generation.
Boy. A boy who's big and on a podcast. So, there's a singer called Jai Paul who sort of came out around 10 years ago, who was from Rainer's Lane. Now, Rainer's Lane will mean something to myself and also the podcast producer, as it's sort of in the kind of northwest London pocket, attaches to the, Stu's going mad for it, loves Rainer's Lane. It attaches the Piccadilly line with the Metropolitan line. So it's a key junction of transportation in the northwest London outer area. And Jay had an album that basically got leaked. It never ever came out. But never came out officially. It just sort of came out on a like leaked basis. Every song was leaked over a course of about 2 years. However, the album art for it also got leaked and has never been a proper like album cover. And the album cover for it is like a homage to his like childhood and Rainer's Lane. It's like a collage with him right in the middle. And then there's like loads of things flying all around him. There's like, I think there's like Elton John, and then there's somebody in a Watford football t-shirt, and then there's like little rabbits, and it's like a weird sort of collage all about him.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, and so I thought we would make our own Jai Paul album cover for ourselves, what our album
that.
Would be. And it's got to be quite scandalous. So this is an album cover that we would make about ourselves. It's an album that's never going to be released properly. It's only ever going to be leaked, and it's dirty and unfinished, and it's naughty.
Great.
All those sort of things that I think you are, Annie, quite
frankly. Oh, stop it.
Although I don't think you're unfinished. I think you're quite fully formed.
A lot of work to be done on me.
So yeah, I thought I use an app called Fonto, which is a free sort of like digital paint app that you can use on iPhone and iPad and other tablet devices. And
sorry, do
and
you work for I them? Thought,
yeah, I'm a shareholder.
You're here on behalf of Apple.
Android devices do exist. And I thought we would make our own collage that's a homage to our lives, as if it was our debut album cover.
Great. I love that idea. I don't have that app, and I went out this morning thinking, oh, we're doing a collage, but obviously no one buys anything in print anymore. So whereas when I was a teenage girl, I'd be cutting things out of magazines on a sort of daily basis, today I actually had to go out and buy a couple of glossy mags.
Great.
And iNews. So I've got a bit of inspiration. So I've got next to me Harper's Bazaar.
Oh, Harper's Bazaar. Harper's Bazaar is actually quite a weapon.
L.
Ooh, L.
And then here I've got iNews.
Well, no, but I think it's quite cool, though, because I'll be making a digital collage using the app, and you'll be making one sort of like the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
But the only issue is, Annie, is that you need to have a photo of yourself in the middle.
That's a good point.
Do you have a photo of yourself?
I must have one. The other thing I have is a sort of array of old like birthday cards and things, which I was going to use, that have different sort of quite twee words on, like sunshine on a rainy day. Friends remind us of how wonderful the world can be. Girls just want to have wine.
Can you write?
Does your mum have a lot of that sort of thing? I feel
my mum would have a card that would be like, girls just want to have dutty wine. She would just be like, nice. Okay. I'll be like, mum, that's cultural appropriative. Stop it.
I think every card my mum gets from her friends has something to do with wine. Like, wine, I love cooking with wine. Sometimes I even add it to the food. It's great stuff.
My favourite is the sort of gin explosion of relative cards and gifts. Things like, calm down and have a gin. I always think gin hypes me up. If I have a gin, I'm going to bottle someone.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking. Gin has quite a nice effect on me. Whiskey can make me terribly aggressive.
Okay. No whiskey for you then.
No whiskey for Jack on the podcast.
The other thing I have is, I don't know if you're a fan of a Moleskine diary. But they come with these little stickers that say things like holiday, dinner.
Oh, and, you get that with you don't get that with Moleskine notebooks. I'll tell you that for truth. They don't give you
these
funny stickers.
You get them with the diaries and then sort of little birthday cake stickers that you can.
Oh, wow.
You can add and weirdly light bulbs as well. I guess if you have an idea, you can just sort of stick a light bulb in your diary.
Well, fantastic. You've got your source material. My source material is all just going to be downloaded off Google Images, to be quite honest with you.
Great. So you're going to download a photo of yourself from Google Images?
No, I've got a photo of myself, and then the rest of the collage is going to be built on Google Images.
Jack?
Yes,
mate. I saw on your TV show that you were a life model.
Oh, no.
How was that? It was great. I loved the show, but I wondered how the experience of being a life model was.
I'm not going to lie. It was one of the worst things I've ever done, personally, professionally, and spiritually, quite honestly.
Oh, no.
It was hard. I hated being a life model. And I had to then lie on camera that I enjoyed it so that the narrative of the episode was uplifting, but I fucking hated it. It was horrible. They were like, so how do you feel? Like, has this made you more body confident? And I was like, has it? Fuck, it was horrible. We were in a really cold community theatre space in St Albans, and I've just been drawn practically naked by absolute strangers, none of whom
quite nice, though. Nice.
Oh, they were so nice. They were really sweet. And like some of the drawings, admittedly, I actually did like.
Yeah.
But the process of it and the expected catharsis that I would supposedly have, according to the producer of the show, to be like, oh my God, I'm freed from the shackles of body consciousness. Like that didn't happen. If anything, I went home and was like, God, I'm fat.
You didn't feel liberated?
No, I did not feel liberated. Meanwhile...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I feel like everything I've said so far has been a bit of a bummer. You're like, how are you? I'm like, I'm having blood tests.
No,
how was your
show?
I hated being naked. But
I respect your honesty.
Yeah, I probably... I wouldn't recommend being a life drawing model unless you are somebody who is in tune, or I suppose happy with your naked body, which I think only a select few people are completely. And I'm not saying that, oh my God, I hate my body and I want to like never ever be naked in front of anyone. It's just more like the act of lying there for 4 hours whilst being drawn was just horrible. And actually, if it had only been like 5 minutes, it might have been better, might have been less anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
It was just going on for so long that my anxiety was just building the whole time.
Oh God. But on the same series...
Considering it was a documentary about depression and anxiety, which wasn't very good.
It was really, really triggered all that for you.
Yeah.
You chat to Richard Gadd, and he says the best thing for sort of depression and things is writing or singing or painting, and sort of the process of creating is very helpful if to sort of distract you from what's getting you down. Would you...
Yeah.
Would you say art therapy is like important?
I would 100% agree with Richard Gadd there.
Yeah.
I think I've always found writing as a very good form of sort of catharsis and escape. I think it's like mainly what I try to tell people to engage in if they are feeling really like down. Is to just like free write. I really enjoy free writing, which is just like... which is just like getting a blank Microsoft Word document. Here I am with another brand. Or Apple Pages. And then just like writing exactly how you feel. And just getting it all down on paper.
Because it's that first bit that can be quite intimidating, can't it? But as soon as you've got something down on the page, it gets easier.
It's, 100%.
I loved your book as well. Just finished reading that. Have you really got it in front of me. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, Annie, that's so sweet of you. Oh,
loved
thanks,
it.
Thanks, mate.
I mean, it's very sad as well as being funny, but did you find the sort of process of writing it? Obviously, it's all about, well, it's not all about grief, but there's lots about sort of coping with the loss of your dad and your best friend and your grandma at such a young age. Was it sort of cathartic to write, or was it equally difficult to sort of express what had happened that was so personal to you?
I think at the time when I was writing it, I found it incredibly stressful. They don't sort of say how stressful it is to write a whole book. It's just like, it's such a mammoth task. And I think I thought, oh yeah, this will just be easy, because it was just like, I've already done 3 Edinburgh shows worth of material about this. I'll just pop that in a document and just edit out some of the cruder bits. But
I guess, is it stressful knowing that this, like, a book will exist forever, whereas a comedy show, even though you're performing it, it's gone.
Yeah, basically. There's this philosopher, I might say the name wrong, called Anais Nin, and she's like a kind of philosopher / erotic novelist.
Okay.
And she said that to write a book is to taste life twice.
Ooh.
And I was like, I really liked it, because it kind of is that. It's like you've already lived it, and then when you're writing about it and re-going over those moments that are particularly kind of like emotional standout points that you would put in a sort of memoir about grief. Like, in my mind, I wanted the book to be about I suppose, a kind of like coping mechanisms for bereavement, and how to be the friend of somebody who's bereaved, but then also to be about coping mechanisms for coming out and sexuality, and then and you know, really sadly dealing with suicide, and how to be, I suppose, really supportive around like those quite tricky topics that can affect people's identity and stability in life. Yeah. And so to do that, it was kind of like tasting those experiences twice, because I really went back into my sort of bank of like weird things that I had written in those free writing things, because I save all those documents. So when I was about 15, my dad died at the end of September 2008, and then by the end of October 2008 we had some money left over from his funeral, and I was like, I really just want a laptop, I just want my own computer. So me and my mum went to Comet in Watford and bought me a refurbished MacBook, but like one of the olden days ones that was like white and plastic and like kind of looked like a sort of, it could be a Fisher Price toy.
Yeah.
And shout out to Apple again. I basically filled this MacBook with like stories that I'd written, or like diary entries from those months just after my dad had died, or like crap songs that I'd made on GarageBand about grief that were just like loops of drum samples over and over again. And like I was quite creative as a teenager, and I had never been that creative pre-grief, if that makes sense. Like I'd never been like, oh, I'm gonna write or make stuff. I was quite an average student at school. And I think I just wanted to study, like just do English and drama and then get a job. Like I never wanted to go to university or anything like that.
You know, that's not the trajectory of doing English and drama, getting a job.
But getting a job, So just do English and drama and then get a job. Oh, I meant A-level. Sorry, I was like, I'll just do English A-level and drama A-level, and then I'll probably get a job as like an English and drama teacher, maybe.
Yeah. But that's so interesting that you didn't come to art because you thought you were good at it or interested in it. You came to it because you needed it to get through a situation in your life.
Yeah.
Big shout out to the arts if you're listening.
Big shout out to the arts. Rishi Sunak, if you're listening. And so then when it came to writing the book 10, 11 years later, I then just went on this laptop. Like I found it in my mum's like attic. And just went through everything. I went through all the stuff that I'd written at 15, 16. Found all the songs that I'd made on GarageBand that were really, really awful. Found I'd saved folders of just photos of people. Or just like, of just...
people you knew.
I was unknowingly incredibly creative. But in like multidisciplinary way, where I wasn't.
I wonder if you'd have come to that had you not experienced that grief.
I don't think so. I think I would have just become an English and drama teacher.
Yeah.
I also think it's quite a lonely experience going through a bereavement like that as a kid. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, there was a really limited pool, a limited resource pool of like things that I found comforting or helpful. So when I was writing the book, I was like, I'm going to write this for what I would have wanted at 15, going through all this shit and sitting on the precipice of being like, standing at the precipice, sorry, of being like, what the fuck do I do with my life? Like, how do I try and like get over this quite traumatic loss and not just feel like everything is over? And the truth is like, everything wasn't over. Actually, like, I was incredibly lucky, and you do get through it. I think as human beings, we always surprise ourselves with how resilient we can be.
Yeah. So how was the other stuff that you did in your TV show? I know one of the things was like cold water swimming and running. Did you find those things helpful or more helpful than life modelling?
Yeah, the other things that I got up to on that were cold water swimming, because the NHS have now put cold water swimming on their like medical agenda. As a treatment for depression, anxiety, because the cold water basically releases all these like endorphin rush and makes you feel quite good. For me personally, I absolutely hated every second of it because I was like, I'm in somebody knocking at the door. Are you knocking at the door? What's wrong, mum? My God.
Do you need to see to that?
Unfortunately, I do, because my mum's just gone, I need to come in. You can keep this in the podcast if you want. My mum needs to come in because she needs to get dressed.
keep it all in.
Mum, come in.
Do you have any sort of favourite artists?
I quite like that Shrigley bloke. And I know that might be quite a sort of basic one to like, but I do think he's fab. I like photographers more than artists, but I suppose photographers are artists, aren't they, in many ways?
Yeah, I would say so.
There's a photographer called Barry Lewis, who I absolutely love, Annie, and I will send you some of his work, and I encourage people to look at it. He did an amazing collection of photos that he took at Butlins in the 1980s, where he was working in the kitchens as like a part-time job in his 20s. Mm-hmm. And they're the most fantastic photographs I've ever seen. But they really they remind me of when I used to go to Butlins in the 90s as a kid. They've got that sort of British seaside sort of joyous feel that I think is quite trendy at the moment. But what he's actually captured and what that is actually in the photographs. Like there's one of just a Butlins red coat on the floor in a fetal position, like trying to sleep, just surrounded by like people. It's just it's sort of the despair of the where you're forced to have fun at the seaside. I think that sounds great. He's also done loads of amazing ones. He did also a collection of photos that he took on Miami Beach back in the 80s, and they're all black and white images, and they're basically just people who have clearly are the first wave of steroid addicts. they're just massive big hench blokes. And yeah.
Where are you up to then? You've got the picture of yourself.
I've got the photo of myself.
What are you going to add to it?
A few more things. I'm going to add... right now, I'm just trying to find mini cheddars to add. Because I adore mini cheddars.
In your mum's bedroom? Or a photo?
Oh, no, just a photo of mini cheddars. I wish I could have it sort of manifested in itself here, but...
that would be good. Do you think that? I guess that's just Amazon. I was thinking, God, imagine being able to search for something on the internet and then it arrives at your house.
yeah, we do actually. It's called the Amazon. What's the Amazonification? What's this word people are using now?
I don't know.
If it's pre 1 p.m., I could get something to you by 10 o'clock, honey.
Really?
Yeah, depending on the item. What do you want? what do you want?
Snack.
Yeah, okay, I can give you a snack. Should I add condoms to my collage?
Yeah, I was gonna say, actually, I think you should.
Is it fun doing a collage? Are you upset that it's not painting, or are you happy?
No, it really takes me back. I'm happy about it, mainly because it's not dirty, so I can just wear clean clothes that I don't mind.
You know,
normally I have to worry about getting paint everywhere.
It's
so nostalgic.
Yeah.
All I did from the age of 12 to 18 was cut out photos and bits of magazines and stick them on my wall.
Were you ever one of those sort of people who would cut out different letters from newspapers, different individual letters and make quotes or sort of scary, threatening correspondence to people, like a sort of psycho serial killer?
Yeah, exactly.
I used to do that with the TV guide all the time. As a child, my favourite book was the TV guide, 100%.
Really?
Because I just used to read it for hours, and I would read absolutely everything about it. I think actually I was quite obsessive over the TV guide. It was I felt like it was mine. My mum used to buy it for the whole household, but I'd be like, no, this is mine, and I'm going to read everything, do the crossword, read the horoscopes. Find out what Mystic Meg is saying at the back. Find out what's happening.
Mystic Meg, whatever happened to her?
She's actually now May Martin.
oh my God, I knew it.
The wig came off and May came out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm building my collage now. Mm-hmm. I've just I've got a photo of Eric Cantona. He's my one of my favorite just sort of famous people.
And really?
He's my biggest crush.
Interesting. Were you a Man U fan as a child or now?
Not at all, to be honest with you, not at all.
Was he not Man U?
He was Man U.
Ooh, ah, Cantona, lost your knickers and your bra. Did people used to sing that at your school?
They used to sing that at me.
Yeah.
but you went to school in Oxford, right? Near Oxford or in Oxford?
I went to school in Northwest London until the age of 9.
What school did you go to?
St Mary's, a sort of Catholic.
Lovely.
Primary school.
Where?
In Hampstead.
Nice. Great.
Yeah. And then, I went to school in Oxford from 9 till, all the way, really, 18.
I always have fond memories of Oxford, because I wished that I'd gone to a sort of little Oxfordshire parish village school, and that I was just sort of making like pasta collages of Jesus. You know, like you just make Jesus out of different pasta shapes and colours.
Could you only have done that if you were in Oxford?
Just don't think it would have felt as sort of kind of English and twee had I not been.
Yeah. Well, that's what we should have done today, is made Jesus out of pasta.
Jesus out of pasta.
Next
we can always
time,
do
come
that
back
maybe.
On the podcast.
I'll come back for part two.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm really regretting of sort of cutting out in between the horns of the moose, and it's proving quite fiddly, and I don't really have the patience. That's as far as I've got.
Oh, cracking. That looks great, Annie. I'm quite excited.
Well, that's just a photo of a moose.
Yeah, but you've cut that so well. I would never be able to cut that middle section out without completely fucking that moose over.
No, you would.
I'm just adding a Sports Direct mug to my collage.
So how are you choosing the objects that you're Google imaging? Are they stuff that's related to your life?
Stuff related to my life, stuff that I love.
So Sports Direct, condoms, mini cheddars, is that the list?
That's basically me. Okay, I've just added some pesto to mine.
Green or red?
Green. I'm not a red pesto man, to be honest with you.
It doesn't feel like pesto. It's not. When
it's
I think
too
of
much
pesto,
like
I think
tapenade.
Green. Sun-dried tomato paste.
Okay.
Do you own any art, Jack?
Do I own any art? I bought a David Shrigley scarf.
Ooh.
That has his thumbs up plinth on it.
Oh yeah, nice.
I have a lovely piece, I think it's called the Hampstead Pond Sad Girls, which is like a illustrative collage made by a comedian and artist called Eve Delaney, if you're ever familiar with her.
She's familiar with her, yeah.
She's fantastic, and I would recommend any listeners to look at her work, because she makes these fantastic part illustrated, part collage sort of like scenes from things. So she's done an amazing one for Staff, Let's Flat.
Yeah. Yeah, Jamie spoke about that actually when he came on the podcast.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, she's very talented, and actually a very, very, very funny actor as well. Sort of annoying when somebody's got multi-talents like you, Annie, when
well,
you can
like
cut
you,
and stick
Jack.
And paint and then also act.
Do jokes and cut out a moose head. So two viable career options. Okay, the moose is getting stuck down.
Okay, Annie, yeah. I have something quite crucial to tell you that has happened.
Piss yourself.
The app has crashed. The app has That's crashed right. and the app has deleted. The app has deleted. The app has crashed and the app has deleted the collage.
If you were working undercover for this app, you would get sacked. I enjoyed your radio show with MIA. That must have been mad to meet one of your heroes.
Well, do you know, she is very much a visual artist. She
is she?
Makes all of her own album art. She studied fine art.
Oh, wow.
She was a visual artist before she was a musician. She was actually nominated for the Alternative Turner Prize in 2002. Oh. That's yeah, so a so lot cool. of her stuff. She actually has an art book as well, which is quite good.
Amazing. Were you nervous about meeting her?
I was cacking it, to be honest with you, Annie. but she was really nice, actually.
Yeah, she comes across nicely.
She was quite sweet, and she was very. I think she's one of those people because she's seen as being very provocative. I think she is actually just quite warm and normal. She's just sort of like sort of standard, like nice woman in the arts, who just also happens to be MIA, the rapper, and you know, and yeah,
she sounded quite sort of normal and like unsanitized. Whereas I think a lot of celebrities are quite careful about what they say. She just seemed quite down to earth and
I think when you get to that level of fame, and you've literally like performed at the Grammys with Jay-Z and Kanye West, and you're like, I am sort of now forever immortalized as a sort of icon to a lot of people. I think the only thing you can do then is just like pursue normality. Like, what else is there to do? Like, we sort of like you if you've had a life where you have both been, this is what I find really fascinating about her, is that like she's had a life where she's both been one of the poorest and one of the richest, like people that you can experience being on the planet, being both like literally a refugee with no money or ascertainable like capital or belongings or whatever, and fleeing war, to then being like a millionaire in LA who's like selling loads of records and shows and tours. Like, it's such an interesting journey to experience in one lifetime that I find just her work really fascinating from that angle, because it must, of course she doesn't want to be a celebrity. If that's the life you've had of coming from nothing, getting everything, and then, you know, you're trying to reconcile with both of those experiences, then you are just going to want to be normal. Like, you're not, you're going to crave just being like an artist that makes what they want to make, rather than being on the red carpet at the Grammys.
And who's the inspiration again?
Jay Paul.
Jay Paul, yeah. Jay I hadn't Paul. Heard of him, but I was listening to him this morning. He's very good.
Do you like the song? He's got a great song called BTSTU.
What does that stand for?
I actually don't know. I'll Google it.
Let me guess. BTSTU. Be the something.
Be the soggiest, toughest umbrella.
Yeah.
Apparently lots of the tracks were just sort of like random letters. Lots of the tracks are just random letters.
That's very annoying.
That's probably like when you save a file and you're just like blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
So it actually stands for Back to Save the Universe.
Back to Save the Universe. What else are you going to add to your collage then?
I might add an oyster card.
You love oyster cards, don't you?
I bloody love oyster cards, Annie McGrath.
Yeah, because yours is a sort of Rainer's Lane. Oh no, that's what Jay's is, isn't it?
Yeah. So
has he got lots of sort of London-based imagery on
London references on it. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay, let's do some cropping. Always good to crop. Wouldn't you agree, Annie?
Oh, it's one of my favourite pastimes, cropping. Have you been to any galleries since the lockdown was slightly lifted?
I went.
Or is that something you would do anyway?
I went to the South London Gallery in Peckham. I'm going to be completely honest and transparent and say that I mainly went to have brunch in the cafe there, the on-site cafe.
That's the one that's right next to Camberwell Art College, isn't it?
Yeah. And there was this piece of art, piece of work, which was just lots of glitter on the floor, but like loads of glitter. Like, I do think that's become a bit of an art trend now, is that I see people just dump something on the floor, but quite a lot of it, and then just sort of let it spread, and that's it. I think...
What do you feel about that?
I think each to their own, I suppose. it's not my chosen form of art, but I can imagine why it's appealing to some.
Yeah, actually, I saw an artist recently who did that. It was a lot of sand on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems a little bit...
Maybe that is a new trend.
Perhaps it is. I know there was that guy at Goldsmiths a couple of weeks ago who just dumped like 15 tons worth of carrots in a car park of Goldsmiths Art College. Which I would both be like, yeah, that's fantastic. And also like, get your fucking carrots away.
And also just such a waste of carrots, surely.
Well, no, they then donated that they were like wonky carrots that got rejected by the carrot people for selling.
Oh yeah.
And then they donated them to local farms. Oh, here we go. 29 tons of carrots, double the amount of carrots I said, was dumped by a Spanish Welsh artist, Rafael Perez Evans. Oh, I love it. This is the combination of Spanish Welsh name.
Spanish Welsh.
Rafael Perez Evans.
Perez.
The artist said the vegetables are unwanted and would not have made it to supermarket shelves and will eventually be collected as animal feed.
There is a like a sort of Abel and Cole type delivery service that just uses like wonky vegetables and fruit that would be rejected from supermarkets.
Oh, really?
What it's called. My fingers are black from this newspaper.
That's the sign of good art making, if your fingers are black and blue.
Oh, the RSPCA have created a sauna for seals.
It's about time.
Can you see that picture?
Definitely just have some seal eyes, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't think I'll fit the whole face on, but it's... So this, we were just talking about glitter. Did you say that was what the installation was?
Yeah.
At South London Gallery.
Yeah, it was just loads
of... This article says, sorry, stores banish glitter litter. It's damaging the waterways.
Maybe,
I wonder if that was a comment.
Maybe it was a statement on waterway glitter usage.
Maybe. But whilst also just adding to the... problem when they have to dispose of the installation.
Okay, Annie, I think
you're nearly done.
I think I'm nearly done, you know.
Great. Where what?
And I've decided to take homage from an MIA album as well as a Jaipool album now. So MIA has an album called Kala, which is one of my favourite albums, where she has a photo of her face right in the centre of the album and it's in like a circle. And around the circle, it has the words fight on repeated around. Kala is a fantastic album cover. People should definitely Google that. So I just thought I'd make my own version of that. And so I'm actually going to put my head in that circle on top of MIA's body.
I love that. Oil or watercolour?
Oil.
Contemporary art or old masters?
Contemporary.
Radio or TV?
Oh, radio.
Portrait or landscape?
Square. I have to say that because I've made you create a square piece of art.
That's true. Boggle or Scrabble?
Boggle.
Venger Boys or MIA?
MIA. MIA boys.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Not if they're a rapist, no. That is my rule. They're a rapist or a paedophile, no. You're trash and your art needs to be burnt. I don't know, if you've accidentally...
But if you've done some sort of low-level crime...
If you're a
crime,
pickpocketer, then fine. I can still enjoy your fine. Work.
Okay. Tortured artist or logical cashier?
Tortured cashier? No, I'll go logical.
Talk about or think about art?
Think about.
M&M's or Smarties?
Oh, M&M's. Crispy or nuts?
Crispy?
Crispy M&M's and peanuts. But I don't like the ones that are just like chocolate coated. I find them a bit
really?
Boring. Yeah.
Oh, I think they're the best ones.
Wow.
Wow. White wine or rosé?
Rosé.
Private view or view of privates?
View of privates.
Jerry Halliwell or Victoria Beckham?
How dare you ask me such a divisive question at a time of political turmoil in our developed nation? I'm going to have to say Geraldine Halliwell. Yeah.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Still life. Just because it reminds me of that song, Still Life, Still Life, Still Life. Still alive, still alive,
still alive, still alive, still alive, still alive, still alive, still alive. Pooing or weeing yourself?
Oh, I've done both, and I'm gonna say weeing myself.
Yeah, correct. Art or tech?
Art.
But you can't say tech. You've had an absolute tech nightmare today.
I know. I really have had a tech nightmare. Tech has made my art in every way. Actually, everything has been quite difficult tech-wise today.
Art or books?
Books.
Art or food?
Oh, art.
And is what you do art?
That's the great question, isn't it? That's the question.
That's always the one that people take the longest to answer.
That is the great question. Is what I do art? When will we know?
And finally, dicks or pussies?
Oh, pussies. I absolutely love it. I think yours is fantastic. I wish I had the same patience and done an old-fashioned collage like yours. I love the moose head. I love how you've negotiated the trickiness of cutting around the antlers. I love the multi-use of different source images from different ranges of sources, actually, there, from greetings cards to newspapers to glossy mags. And I think... I particularly enjoy... What's that woman? Is that Marie Kondo at the bottom there, just having a stare?
Yeah, Marie Kondo, yeah.
Fantastic. So,
and there's a seal in the lettering. I don't know if you can tell.
Oh, wow. That's great. Look, for effort, I'm going to give you full marks because you were up this morning, you were buying your source material, you were in there. So that's, for effort, it's 10 out of 10. What were the other two categories that I'm awarding?
Just commitment and then a grade. But commitment, I mean, I understand if you mark me down because I haven't finished it.
You haven't finished it, but you're going to. So I'm going to give you 8 there, 8 out of 10.
Thank you.
Am I supposed to be giving you numbers or letters?
We never really decided.
Once it's finished, I think it's going to be an A star, but right now I'm going to give you an A.
Thank you very much. I respect your honesty and I appreciate the feedback.
But I does need to have a photo of you underneath Tough.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I just think girls just want to have Tough Annie is enough.
Thank you. Right, let me see yours.
Okay. So really? This is my collage. It's
oh,
got
wow.
A bus stop, a pineapple, a microwave, yeah. Some mini cheddars, a colourful jacket, because I'm always in a colourful jacket. It's also got a copy of Grieving for Dummies, the infamous
ooh.
Help book. It's got a mug with Philip Schofield's face. It's got Nicki Minaj. It's got a lasagna, which if you read my book, Annie, you'd know I got a lot of lasagnas after my dad passed. It's a real comfort food for me. It's got an NUS card, an Oyster card, Eric Cantona, kicking an NUS card, and a rainbow. And then it's got MIA, but I've put my face on top.
Absolutely stunning. I love the mixture of everyday objects from NUS card and Oyster card to, you know, exotic fruits like the pineapple.
Like the pineapple.
Example. Like
there's also a tiny little jar of pesto there. Can you see that on the microwave?
Oh, yeah. I like all the food and also the symbolic nature of the food you've chosen, the reference to your dad, the reference to the book. The self-help book on grief. It's a lovely combination of things. The rainbow, the sign of hope at the top of it all. And it's beautiful.
Thanks, honey. So
I'm going to give you a 10 out of 10.
Oh, mate.
For both.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
And it's been so nice talking to you.
It's been lovely talking to you.
I'm going
to
give you a star.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to see mine and Jack's collages, then check out our Instagram page at Secret Art Pod. Send us in your collages too. Always love seeing your artworks. Remember to check out Jack's radio shows and TV series on BBC iPlayer. Buy his bloody book from one of those bookshops and follow him on social media at Jack Rook on Twitter and at Jack Dave Rook on Instagram. I'm at Annie McTweet on Twitter and at McGrath.Annie or at McGrath.Art for my art Instagram account. Remember to keep supporting the arts in this batshit cray-cray time. Look after yourselves and have a good week. Until next time. Bye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.